Lionheart Radio, the voice of Northumberland.
A very big weekend and show. Welcome to Tom Johnston, who is from the, let me get this right, the Glendale Gateway Trust.
That's correct.
Tom, I'm delighted to have you in because the Glendale Gateway Trust is something I've read about quite a lot and always thought, well, what an interesting model in terms of taking a town in Northumberland, which I think it would be fair to say had a few difficulties. You know, like a lot of our towns have with trade and so forth, it's something we're forever talking about here in Alnwick. And of course in Morpeth, where they're all to and fro about what to do with the Sanderson Arcade site, etc., etc. But it's a bit of a different model that you've set up in Wooler, isn't it? Could you sort of take us back and explain, first of all, sort of when you started and what you set out to do?
Well, the trust was formed in 1996. It's a charity. It's a company limited by a guarantee. We've got 14 very dedicated volunteer trustees. Of course, when you first start out, you're a bit green. You haven't got the skills you need. But we had an ambitious project, an ambitious proposal to develop a community resource centre in the town. It took us about 4 years to raise the money, but we got there. And the Cheviot Centre is now in its 10th year of operation. So the Cheviot Centre is up and running. It's a real focus for community activity. I think that gave us a lot of confidence, really. And we looked towards other projects. We looked toward down the high street, and you've talked about some of the issues facing the small towns. And we had a serious issue in town of derelict properties and empty shops. And we took a big risk, really, as a community development trust, and we bought a big chunk of the high street, a big chunk of high street that was owned by an absent landlord, someone with not the same degree of interest in the town as we had, shall we say. And
You're a diplomat.
And we bought this property, and we had this naive idea that within 2 years we could develop new affordable housing on the site, we could bring back the shops into life, mm-hmm. We could attract new businesses. The reality is we did get there, but it took us 5 years, and it was an extremely testing project, shall we say, but it has had a fantastic impact on the town.
Now, you mentioned the Cheviot Centre. Could you just describe to me a little bit what it actually looks like and what it's got in it? Because it's quite a lovely building, isn't it?
Mm. It is a lovely building. Hard to believe that it started life as a workhouse, Victorian workhouse in the 1860s. It's a building, there's all sorts of activities go on there. It's a sort of cruciform shape, two-story building. It's got a beautiful entrance, actually. The entrance is really nice.
I'm nodding here.
And welcoming. We've got the tourist information in there, so we've got a lot of visitors coming through the building, but we've got a lot of community use, and you'll find all sorts of things going on there. One of the biggest groups to use the place is the U3A, the University of the Third Age, and they have an astonishing program. Wooler is obviously a fantastic place for people to retire. They have an astonishing program of activities. You can do desert island discs, you can do crafts, you can do horticulture, you can do music for pleasure, and they're one of our biggest groups, but there's yoga going on, there's lots and lots of training courses, we have an IT suite there, so there's a real buzz to the place, which is a great relief, because I think secretly when we were just about to open, we all feared that maybe people wouldn't come in, maybe people wouldn't use it, but they have, and it's got really good community buy-in.
And I think you have other events there as well at the Cheviot Centre as well. I'm not sure if it's a gig venue, though. I know that you sort of open it up, though, to groups to really use. So it's a real community resource, which is great to have that right in the centre. And it's an accessible centre, isn't it?
It is accessible. There's a big car park next to it. It's an accessible centre. It's got its limitations, like any building. We don't have a big hall. But we do have some large spaces, and that seems to satisfy most groups.
Now, you mentioned it was interesting. You said you didn't know how it would really pan out, because obviously you had a vision. Whose vision was that? How did you actually... Because these things can be very difficult to set up.
Yes. Well, the original vision really came out of a village appraisal that was done in 1995, 96. And there was a clear message from the community that there are a lot of community facilities in the town, but they're all very fragmented. And if we really wanted something that was going to be sustainable, something that was going to be accessible, then we really needed to pull those activities together. So I think that was a good vision. That was a strong vision that came out of the community village appraisal. And that's what we were working to.
So how important would you say then, Tom, it was to have people on board right from the start?
Essential, absolutely essential. I think particularly when you look at, if you take it from the point of view of funders, they really need evidence, evidence that things are going to work, evidence that this is what the community wants. So it is absolutely essential to have people saying, yes, this is what we want, this is what we believe will work, this is what we want to see the money invested in.
So I guess this is one of the things that really intrigues me about the whole ethos behind the trust and how it's sort of come into operation and sort of progressed and developed, is the fact that you can have some, well, you can have a couple of different models, can't you? You can have the model where somebody comes up with a great idea and leads it, and they may disappear or they may not bring everybody with them. But if you've got like a much, if you like sort of bigger volume of people, a bigger voice, a clearer consensus, then it just gives you that more oof, doesn't it?
It does. And you need that, really. You can't be relying on one person's vision. It's got to be, you've got to have the community behind you.
So what's going on at Lionheart Radio at the moment?
We have a new training studio now, which is a great opportunity for all of you who want to take part in Lionheart now.
What can we do there?
You could become a presenter. You'll get proper training. You'll get the time to try it before you go live on air, so you've got your confidence.
I don't really want to be a presenter. What else can I do?
There are lots of other opportunities. Want to learn behind-the-scenes things with Lionheart? If you fancy a career in production, that's available to you too.
That sounds great. Where do I need to go?
We're on Fenchel Street in the centre. Come in and find your way to us straight away. You just follow the sound.
Okay.
Get yourself along to Lionheart Radio.
I'll see you there.
Believe me, you'll have loads of fun with it.
This advert was produced in partnership with the NCDN Informal Adult Learning Transformation Fund Project.
So we were talking there just a little bit about the establishment of the Glendale Gateway Trust in Wooler, and how you sort of, you began in a sense with the Community Resource Centre. And so that kind of got up and running. So you started in 1996 and that got up and running by...
Oh, when did that? Yes, Prince Charles opened the doors in October 2001. He was due to arrive in March 2001, but foot and mouth hit the week before.
Oof, gosh.
So he cancelled at the last minute, but he did come in October 2001, which was a great day for the town.
Fantastic. There's someone quite famous to get to open the centre. But I could see the attraction. That, I think, would be right up... Charles's Street.
Oh, yes. I think he's quite a community-minded sort of guy. Can I call him a guy? I mean, he's heir to the throne. I can call him
a
guy.
I think you can call him a guy. From the Prince Charles opening 2001, you could have just rested on your laurels, couldn't you?
Oh, I think we were up for it after that. I think we had a real buzz, and we... I mean, timing is everything, isn't it, really? And timing has been quite good to us. I mentioned foot and mouth. The government's response to foot and mouth, of course, was this Margaretown Initiative Programme, which, of course, Annactown itself benefited from. And we had a little bit of security there, and there was 3 years' worth of revenue funding. And we thought, right, what next? And we looked along the high street, and I've mentioned the big properties we bought on the high street. And at the time, we actually approached a local landowner who was very sympathetic to our big idea, and it was a big idea, and he actually offered us an interest-free loan of £250,000 for a year, and that really kicked that project off. I think as soon as he did that, it opened some big doors for us, and people came forward with funding. So essentially we bought all this property, and it is a very long story, so I'll keep it short, but that property, look at it now, and a big piece of derelict land is now home to 15 affordable houses. The empty shops are now, there are now three shops there, and refurbished and to a good standard. We've now built flats above the shops for young people. And young people are really in our thinking all the time. We've got a very elderly community in Wooler. 30% of people in Glendale area are of pensionable age. National average is just around 20. So we're doing all we can to try and attract new young people there or keep young people there. So we've got three flats and we've got one house, which is a three-bedroom house where a young family live there. And I mentioned timing. Just as we brought that project to a conclusion, the Youth Hostel Association announced that they were going to close the youth hostel in Wooler.
Mm.
And there we were with some money to spend and a bit more of a track record. So we decided, right, we're going to go for this. And we broke at a meeting with Northern Rock Foundation. And essentially, to cut a long story short again, we ended up buying it. And we now own and manage that youth hostel and have done so for 3 years. So and that's a very important part of the local economy. 5,500 overnights a year. That's a lot of people coming, spending money in the shops and the pubs. A lot of people visiting the wider attractions in the Glendale area and further afield, North Northumberland. So that's been one of our key projects, that.
And has the youth hostel, is it still in the YHA, the Youth Hostel Association?
It is. We own it and manage it under a license agreement from the YHA. So we pay the YHA a fee every year. It's there in their handbook, it's on the website, and it's part of the YHA network, which is very valuable to us, actually.
Yeah. And it's not making a loss.
It's not making a loss, no, at all. It's certainly helping to sustain the trust.
Brilliant. That's an absolutely fantastic thing to do, and it keeps it again, you know, like saying the people coming in, people want to spend money, and especially if they're youth hostlers, you don't want to just, if you've been trekking or walking, you know, the Pennine Way or whatever, you don't want to be blooming blasting off necessarily somewhere else to get your food or have a couple of pints. You want to stay in Wooler, don't you?
That's right, yeah. You want a decent bar meal, you want to, you know, visit the pub, you want to visit the shops, the cafes. So, yeah, it probably contributes to a significant spend in the town.
Well, going back to that, was it $250,000 you said, that
yes.
Loan? Was that not like a sort of edge of your seat moment? Were you not a bit like, you know, you seem so cool and collected about it, Tom?
Well, I think we put on a cool and collected front, but I think inside we were all very nervous. You know, we'd borrowed a lot of money. Somebody had some confidence in us and taken a risk. And yes, there was plenty of edge of the seat moments. But we got there. I think this is one of the great benefits of community development trusts, and one of the reasons I think community development trusts, people should invest in community development trusts, because I think they are completely committed. You know, we tackled a big project that the local authority had failed to tackle and that the private sector had failed to tackle, but we were absolutely committed to it, and we were determined we were going to find a solution. What I didn't mention as part of the story is one of the reasons the site had been undeveloped was because there was an access issue, but we were convinced we could overcome that access issue, and we battled away at it, and we got there.
I think the fact that it's developed into a housing project, again, it gives, I suppose, the word sustainability, but what on earth does sustainability mean? I mean, there's so much more there, really, in terms of value about having people, and you were saying young people, to stay in, say, the place of their birth or where they've grown up, rather than just go away, because we do have this huge exodus away, not least for work.
Yes, it's quite frightening looking at the infinite statistics on the Northumberland County Council website. There's some fascinating statistics right across the county. And if you look at Glendale, for example, between 2005 and 2007, Glendale lost 10% of its young people. That's 0 to 15-year-olds. That's the highest exodus in any of the localities in the county. And we're really doing our best to try and stem that, you know, and to try and attract new people there, which is part of the picture.
I mean, it's a beautiful place, of course. It's absolutely gorgeous there, you know, the Chieftains as a backdrop. But the problem, of course, and this is back to square one where we were, really, when we were talking about the challenges facing a lot of the villages and the market towns and the other towns and settlements in Northumberland.
Yeah, it's it is a beautiful place to live. I mean, you're never going to get big employers there, so there's never going to be the wealth that you have in certain areas. But, you know, I think you've got to remember, we've got a good quality of life there. You know, crime statistics are low. One of the things I love to tell people when I'm travelling is, you know, it's 14 miles to the nearest traffic light. You know, how many people in the UK can say that?
Lionheart Radio is the perfect way to promote your business. You've heard this advert, so the chances are your potential customers have heard it too. Radio reaches people at relevant times and places. Whether in the car, at home or at work, radio is a great way to contact people in all walks of life. If you would like more information on what advertising on Lionheart Radio can do for you and your business, call Simon on 01665 602299. That's Annick 602299.
Joined by two Toms.
I'm Tom One.
Tom One on my left and Tom Two here.
I'm confused.
Tom Tom's in the studio.
Okay, we've got Tom Pattinson on the left of me.
Who are you again?
Clever.
Who's the joker in the middle?
Good to see you, Carl.
If I was clever, I could pan you out for stereo listeners.
Yes.
I'm not that clever. Tom, you're looking like you're full of the joys of spring and summer.
Oh, gosh, fit as a butcher's dog.
Are you?
I'm really working in the garden today and yesterday and the day before. But I went out, I don't know if you've heard of, do you know Jim Gibbons, Tom, from Woolah area?
Jimmy,
he lives at Brandon. I judge with him at Woolah show every year.
He used to work for the National Park.
He did, indeed. We were out the Simon Sides for a walk. We do a monthly walk, you see, about a dozen of us get together. And he led us through the Simon Sides the other day. It was fantastic. Mm. And he's one of the group of Woolah chaps I know quite well, Tommy Swan and Robert Lockhart and people like that. They're attached to the show, you know, the Glendale show.
That's right. I seem to remember. Am I right in thinking Jimmy was a good sweet pea man?
He's a sweet pea man. And everything man, yes. And birds and so on. Yes, no. I was listening a little bit as I came in there. And you're talking about the Development Trust in Woolah. And you mentioned the Cheviot Centre. And I went there about a couple of years ago, maybe three, to talk to the U3A, a gardening talk. Yeah. And it's a fantastic setup there. And you were trying to describe to Carl what it was like. And also we've got a couple of trusts in Annick. We've got the Annick People's Development Trust, which about 30-odd trustees were trying to do a similar thing, really, mm-hmm. you know, for this area. And we went through the same motions as yourself as trustees of the Bailiff Gate Museum. We started off amateurs, you know, and this is about, 15 years ago. And we had to try to find cash. We had to identify a place to have a museum for this district. And they kept moving the goalposts. But in the end, we got there. But there were six of us. There were four. Then we went down to four trustees. And we were thinking to ourselves, help. But we were just enthusiastic. Yeah. Yet today, we're expanding the number of trustees. And we're getting grants in. Mm. And you've just got to keep plugging away at it, haven't you?
You have, and you've got to really be committed. And, you know, like you, we've got some very committed volunteers, people who have put their time in for free and really care about the place.
Well, we were just talking there, Tom Pattinson.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard that bit. We were just talking about the development of the High Street and the development of the Cheviot Centre and also of housing. And I think that's particularly interesting, this aim to keep try and persuade young people to stay in the town itself. A really important sort of cornerstone of the plan, I think. Mm. What have you actually got housing-wise, and Tom?
Well, the Trust only own four housing units. We own three flats and one three-bedroomed house. But we have lobbied, really, and we've been instrumental in encouraging growth from housing associations. So there's a further 15 houses that were developed, and we're already talking to another housing association about developing more. Actually, yes. One of the early projects, I should say, I did mention the, I suppose, there were a lot of community facilities, a lot of community halls. One of the halls that we actually took ownership of, we sold on to a housing association who developed that into three bedsits for young people. So there's one way or another, there's quite a lot going on.
And of course, the youth hostel, how many years have you had that for now? Is that, that's one of the more recent developments, isn't
it? We're in our fourth year there now. It's really grown. The business has grown. And the place is looking really good. It's well cared for. And, it's extremely, it's a great place, actually. Well, I mean, one of the nice stories about the youth hostel is it was built as a land army hostel during the war. And some of the women who live in Wooler came up to work in the Land Army. They're still there. They married local people. Some of them came up from Tyneside, South Shields, and they've got great stories to tell. And they love the place. So very early on, we got them together and we've put some information on the walls. We've renamed the rooms after some of the Land Army girls. And it's really got that community ownership again.
So in terms of the future then, Tom, what... is that vision to just consolidate, keep it going, or are you still thinking of more big projects?
Oh, I think we are keen to do some more big projects. I think we've recognised that the economic climate's been different, a bit more challenging, really, than it's been in the past. You know, we've had European money, which is largely gone now, and, there's certainly some funding streams. Northern Rock Foundation were a great help, you know, invested a lot of money in this area. And that's diminished now slightly, but we are keen to carry on. We are keen to buy new buildings, try and affect new regeneration throughout the town. We're involved with other things as well, you know, service delivery. We run a work web project, so we're there for the long term.
Tom, I've got to ask this because, of course, some people who'll be listening will be. Maybe travelling through Northumberland for the first time and wondering, quite like the sound of Glendale or Wooler, where should I go to? So what's the answer to that question? Where, I want to say one of your favourite or a couple of favourite spots around there to go in there.
Head for Langley Ford and up the Cheviot for a start.
Yeah, sit on the top of Humbleton Hill. It's absolutely beautiful. What a fantastic view.
And look for the Bender Stone when you go out of Wooler on the right and find out about the battle that went on round that, the battle it marks, Harry Hotspur's time.
Yeah,
there's a lot of history there, Carl, masses of history. And, of course, at Geffrin or Yevring.
Exactly.
King Edwin's Palace, which is the heart. It's the key to this story on Holy Island, bringing... Aidan over from Iona, etc., which Oswald did, I guess. But it's the centre of it, isn't it?
If you're standing at Yevering Bell, can you try and, either of you, or both of you, can you try and just sort of describe what you see on the panorama? The 360 degrees.
Oh, that's a challenging question, isn't it? I suppose if you're in there... okay, I'm looking north.
East would be Wooler, wouldn't it,
yeah,
Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah. North would be towards Ford, Eatle, and towards Scotland.
You could probably see the Eildon Hills from there.
Eildon Hills, Triple Peaks, the Eildon Hills, and Melrose beneath them. You wouldn't see it, but you'd see the Eildon Hills, the Triple Peaks,
The Cheviot.
Cheviot, and you might just, back of Yevering, you might just find the goats.
Actually, one of the fantastic views I had recently was up in a glider, you know, Millfield, the Borders Gliding Club at Millfield.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what a treat that was, going up in a glider. Fabulous, you know, and we went right down to the College Valley, turned around, we went right over the top of Yevering Bell. What a fantastic... opportunity to view the hill fort on the top of Yevering Bell. Great way to see the Cheviots.
And could you sort of make out the patterns, you know, below at the temple and at Geffrin and the sort of settlements on top of the bell?
You can, very clearly. It's a great way to see them. Absolutely great way to see them. And they're very accommodating at the gliding club. So, it'd be a great thing to do this weekend, I think. It'll be some good thermals.
Yeah.
Defo.
Lionheart Radio, the voice of Northumberland.